like my granddaddy one day.
I want the best wine.
I'm going to sing this song. It goes like this. Listen.
Holy fire, burn away my desire for that thing that is not of you and is of me. I want.
Father, we thank you this morning, fresh new day. Your mercies are renewed this morning. your presence, Lord God, continuing to bless and to guide and to increase your kingdom and to raise up your children, your people, the body of Christ, into all your word, into all of your promises that you've given and you've given freely. Lord, I pray that this word this morning, the continuation of last week's, is in line with your will to bring to come to pass those words that you sent out and those words that you watch over, Lord, to perform. The gift of life, the gift of salvation that you intend to be spread and to be shared and to be dispersed out into this world from every nation, to every tribe, past and through all limitations, right over every obstacle, right through every hindrance, Lord, unstoppable your word, so that you're blessed and you're ministered to, Father, that you are glorified in this earth. In the name of Jesus, Lord, you're so good. You continue to bless. I ask that you anoint the ears of our hearing and the eyes of our seeing, that the understanding, the discerning in the spirit would be blessed and increased so that you would be, so that you, Lord God, would be glorified this morning, that you would be lifted up in the name of Jesus. Good morning, Ted Lyon. Praise God. We are pressing through, going forward in the name of Jesus, going up higher in the Lord. This morning is going to be a part two, a continuation of last week. And last week we talked about Zacchaeus, the tax collector, who we know and we saw, we read that he went up in a tree to get above the crowd, to get above the accusations, to even get past his limitations of stature, but also to get past his privileged life that he was raised in. See, that also held him back. That also set challenges for him in his life. Now, Zacchaeus, we learn, went up, he found Jesus, he saw Jesus, he put his eyes on Jesus, and something awesome happened in that tree. Something beautiful. Salvation happened. He was reconnected. So this morning I want to just call this simply, everyone is looking for Jesus. Everyone is looking for Jesus. I bring your attention to John 3:6. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. So how can Zacchaeus be born again? How was he born again? How could it happen that he's so transformed? You know, when he had all these limitations, he was short, he was a tax-collecting crook, they said. How could this happen to a man who was made rich from treachery against the poor? Through lies. How can it be that this man, Zacchaeus, was saved? How can, you know, when he can't even see over the spirit of the accuser in the crowd, how can a man like this unloved, unsaved rich man see the kingdom of God? It happened when he beheld Jesus. You see, Jesus even told us how hard it was for a rich man to enter into heaven in Matthew 19:23. Reading from the ESV, and Jesus said to his disciples, truly, I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Now, that's Jesus telling us how hard it is. Now, according to Jesus' own descriptions, it sounds pretty near impossible, would it not? But here we see Jesus declare that salvation has come to his house. Zacchaeus' house, this day, salvation was come to, and Jesus was come to visit with him in his house. But how this happened, if it's so difficult, it sounds so difficult and so impossible for a rich man to enter in the kingdom of heaven. Well, something happened. How did Zacchaeus do this to see Jesus? What did he really do? What did he do? Really, what he did to look upon Jesus was Zacchaeus had to get up from under those labels, bypass the spirit of the accuser. He had to get through that. Zacchaeus had to climb up a tree. Now, the word says it was in order to see over the crowd. To get out from under those restrictions, he had to go up in a tree. Or in other words, he had to go up in Jesus. Now, follow me carefully, because if you got to see this in the spirit, or you'll miss the word of God. The point is this: if you are looking in the flesh, you're only seeing the flesh. You're only seeing laws. You'll miss the visitation of Jesus if you're only looking in the flesh and seeing the laws. And just like many did a long time ago when they saw Jesus, see, many people saw Jesus for 33 years in his ministry on earth, but they missed the visitation of God. You have to see Jesus, my brothers and sisters. There is presentation that people focus on, and then there's the point of what's being presented that people are witness to, that it's revealed. Now, in the Bible, the fig tree that Zacchaeus used to rise above the crowd symbolizes something very amazing. Anyone can research the fig tree and find the following that I found. The fig tree is a type of sycamore. Now, sycamore in Hebrew is shikma. Although it may be admitted, this is coming from the resource online, although it may be admitted that the sycamore is properly, and in Luke 17:6, the mulberry. And the sycamore, the mulberry, or sycamore fig, Ficus sycamoris, yet the latter is the tree generally referred to in the Old Testament and called by the Septuagint, sycamine. It's in 1 Kings 10:27, 1 Chronicles 27:28, Psalms 78:47, Amos 7:14. The sycamore or fig mulberry is in Egypt and Israel a tree of great importance and very extensively used. It attains the size of a walnut tree, has wide-spreading branches, and affords a delightful shade. On this account, it is frequently planted by the waysides. Its leaves are heart-shaped, downy on the underside, and fragrant. The fruit grows directly from the trunk itself on little sprigs and in clusters like the grape. To make it edible, each fruit, 3 or 4 days before gathering, must, it said, be punctured with a sharp instrument or the fingernail. This was the original employment of the prophet Amos, as he says in Amos 7:14. So great was the value of this tree that David appointed for them in his kingdom a special overseer. Sycamore tree. Now, what we know about sycamore tree is it's an ancient species of the fig tree, and it's amazing. It's also related to the mulberry tree. There are several species of the fig tree that comes under the sycamore tree. And this particular species of the sycamore tree is sometimes called, spelled in a different way, for distinction from the other fig species. Now, this species of the fig tree is found in Madagascar, Egypt, and Israel. This variety is an extremely large tree. Though the trunk is similar to the olive tree, you can identify them by their leaves. The huge, large, leathery leaves are thought to have possibly been used been the fig leaves referred to in the book of Genesis, in Genesis 3:7, saying, "Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves." The scientists, archaeologists, and religious scholars all seem to agree that this is most likely the species of the fig tree that the book of Genesis could have been referring to. And it's the only species of fig tree that is native to the Middle East. It is also the only sycamore tree that has larger than normal leaves. Now, what is it represents? In ancient Hebrew writings, the sycamore tree symbolized regeneration. When transplanting a sycamore tree, you must do it quickly as the roots dry and they're very rapidly. On the other hand, the sycamore tree has an amazing ability to regenerate itself. If the sand covers one of its branches, it will establish new roots and reproduce a whole new tree. During ancient times, these trees were considered very important to Israel. Now, the only reason why I'm sharing any of this about the kind of tree it was that Zacchaeus climbed is because God pointed it out to me. Something of the fruit of repentance that Jesus found in that tree. When Jesus comes to another fig tree of a place in Scripture and finds it lacking fruit, remember what he did? The BelieversWeb.org puts it like this. The fig tree is one of the more frequently mentioned trees in Scripture. It's found in Genesis 3:7, Judges 9:11, 1 Kings 4:25. It was a symbol of prosperity and security. Now, biblical symbolism that we see in the fig tree, that sycamore, it points to something. It's showing us the relationship that people have with something enjoyable, with something sweet, the fruit of something, and the prosperity and the security, which many in Jesus' time tried to continue to hold on to and to cling to, the prosperity and the security of those birthright privileges of having Abraham as a father. The tree cannot save you no more than it made Zacchaeus tall. And that is what John the Baptist and Jesus were telling all the people, especially the scribes and the Pharisees, who were hiding behind their family lineage and justifying their sins and how they treated the poor. And this was seen when Jesus told Zacchaeus that he was going to visit him. It might seem like I'm a little bit all over the place here, but the reason I'm going right for is Jesus. See, if there's anything you hear this morning that you remember, remember this. All the money, all the sweet things in life, all the privileges we're born with, all of it. Just like the figs, the fig tree, the leaves, the fruit of it, and the tree, all of that. Privileges or securities that we're born into, the natural ones, they can't save us. And the crowds, the accusations, the limitations, the roadblocks, the hindrances, the obstacles that the devil tries to throw in your way to keep you from seeing Jesus, they cannot keep you from seeing Jesus. Just like how a person's stature and their sins, their past, can't keep us from Jesus when we look for him. Zacchaeus, the short man, he had used this tree to get a closer look at Jesus. He had excuses. He was born with excuses. We all are. But what Jesus declared that day about Zacchaeus was the man was saved. He said, "This day has salvation come to your house. I must go in and visit with you." He said all those things because Zacchaeus went out on a limb. He literally tells us that. But the only reason he was able to be saved that day that he went up that tree was because Jesus went up and died in a tree. It's not about the figs or the sycamore. I used all that to point out Jesus. This tree, its leaves, its figs cannot save you. No more than the leaves could cover Adam and Eve's nakedness. no more than its figs can save them, no more than the knowledge of it can save us. So we don't focus on the symbols or the symbolism. It's not what God wants you to see this morning. What God wants you to see is Jesus, representing proper Israeli birth, representing the prosperity of God's favor for being a Jew in the first place, representing that law that they were given, and they were following. The fig tree is a blessing, and it's God-given, but it didn't save. It pointed to Jesus. See, both Zacchaeus and the rich man were born and raised up in Judaism. Both were born in the privilege of being God's chosen people. Both had that pedigree. But just as John the Baptist and Jesus told the people, don't say you have Abraham as your father, Matthew 3:9. Don't say you have Abraham to your father, because God can raise children of these stones. And this is also referred to in Romans 4:1. You see, you can use knowledge. You can use the tree and the symbolism and learn from it. The nation of Israel and the privileges of Judaism and its laws, all the sense of security that was found under the covering of these trees' shades was temporal. You can know all about the laws, but they do not save. They point to someone. They were like the shade, only a shadow of him who was coming. It's he who was written in the volume of it. Psalms 47:8. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Hebrews 10:7. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. See, many people miss the visitation of who said these words, because they were not looking for Jesus. They were, again, using the tree's leaves to cover them. Yes, when it's God who covers us by the shedding of blood. What saves us is not the laws nor the fig trees. Zacchaeus used this tree to rise above. Because of his limitations, he used it, yes. But he used it for the purpose of rising above and looking upon Jesus. You and I have a very precious privilege in this time of history to be able to read the Old Testament and read the books of the New Testament and have all these prophets and the collections of the stories and all of the Psalms put together for us to the story of Jesus. The miraculous work of Jesus is there for us to use and to have like no other time in history. All the prophets of the Old Testament, they wished they could look and see and experience what we have today. But if we are only seeing in the flesh, we can still miss the visitation of Jesus. The Word came in the flesh, not to be missed, but to be had, to be received. Zacchaeus wasn't saved by this tree, by using it and climbing it. It's just what helped him see Jesus. I want to bring your attention to Luke 1. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us. It seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now, while he was serving a priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But when the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me, to take away my reproach among people." In the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the 6th month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country, to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud voice, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, and as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father, but his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." And they said unto her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they all wondered, and immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him." As his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance in Israel. Now, I want to point out these things that when the Holy Spirit comes upon Elizabeth and Zechariah and Mary, and as they're prophesying, as they're talking in the Spirit, the words that are life, speaking of Jesus, I want you to see how they relate to this transformation that Zacchaeus had in the tree, looking for Jesus. See, we're all looking for Jesus, whether we know it or not. And he is here. He's the visitation of God in earth is here. So going on to chapter 2, "In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby laying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the things that had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all those things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying God and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. At the end of the 8 days, he was circumcised. He was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. A sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and praying night and day, and came up at that very hour. He began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. And he said to them, why were you looking for me? We did not know I must be in my father's house. And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and of men. Continuing on just a little bit more. In chapter 13, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, being governor of Judea, and Herod, being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all regions around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. He said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, what then shall we do? And he answered them, whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food to do likewise. Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than you are authorized to do. Soldiers also asked him, and we, what shall we do? And he said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages. See, Jesus' ministry, his life, the manifestation of the Son of God, his presence among us was purposeful. It was no mistake. He came and he looked, he saw. But did the people around him look? And did they see? See, Jesus come passing by and on the wayside found a fig tree, and he went up to it, wanting to have fruit from it, but found none. And we remember the response that Jesus had in that, God's word tells us that he said, no man's going to eat fruit of you hereafter. And immediately that tree withered up. Finding fruit in a tree apparently is important to Jesus. It's important to God. But what fruit is Jesus looking for? Well, John says it right here. Bear fruits meet for repentance. The fruit of repentance is what Jesus found in that fig tree, in that sycamore tree that Zacchaeus had climbed up. Jesus found the fruit of repentance. That tree with its symbolism in Israel, Zacchaeus used it to climb up above the crowd to behold Jesus, to draw nigh, to get closer to Jesus, to lay hold of him with his eyes. All his accusations couldn't hold him back. His stature could no longer hold him back. The comforts, the privileges he was born with could no longer give him excuses to not want Jesus. But he found Jesus looking for him, and immediately, oh, he said, I give half of what I have to the poor. I restore to those I've made false accusations. And Jesus saw that fruit of repentance and declared, behold, Zacchaeus, son of Abraham, this day I must come visit you. We're all looking for Jesus. All of us are looking for Jesus. Some, misguided, are looking for salvation in the wrong places, looking for love in all the wrong places. And the devil is sure to make sure that if you're doing that, you will find all of those substitutes and those counterfeits, those empty lies that lead you away from God, lead you into the gutters and the byways and into the wilderness, into the den of thieves and the den of troubles. But Jesus came to destroy those works of darkness. Going back to what is said about the fruit of the fig, how 3 or 4 days before harvesting they prick it. They puncture the skin on that. It gets pricked just a little bit 4 days before harvesting in order for its fruit to be sweet. It's so marvelous that it reminds me of Jesus being pierced in his side. And then 3 days later, the fruit of that sacrifice that was made for our salvation, the fruit was the sweetest that could possibly be. The sweet fruit of redemption, reconnected to God, forgiveness of sins, eternal life. Praise God. Thank you, Father, for the good things that you give us, the privileges, the benefits, the comforts of life and family and security that you put in our lives to keep us, those hedges, Lord, those, and all the words of your laws that are marvelous. Thank you, God, for all these great good things, these gifts that come from you, Lord, the Father of life. Thank you, God. But we understand none of these good things, these blessings, save us. We understand that Jesus, you save us. You save us, God. You're the deliverer. There is no other deliverer. There's no other king. There's no other Lord. You alone are God. You alone are Lord. You alone are salvation, reconnection back to God our Father. So this morning I pray, open our eyes, open the ears of our understanding, that our hearts will be made ready, Lord God, for that revelation of Jesus, that opening up, the revealing of you, God. Everything else aside doesn't matter. Benefits come from living in relationship with you, Jesus, but those benefits don't save us. It's you, Jesus. No other name given among men under heaven can save us but you, Jesus. And I thank you for that, God. I thank you for that, God. This morning, let your truth grow up fruitful, plenteous, to the increasing of your kingdom, to the salvation of our souls, to the delivering of us from all affliction, finding you, Jesus, looking for you, and finding you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for being with me this morning. Thank you so much. God bless you. In the name of Jesus, we'll see you tomorrow morning on the TED Line. Thank you.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice at the same old line, if you're trying to feel the same old holes inside, there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, chain, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day instead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fire. We've all run